Amen. The impact or the power of praise and worship in the Catholic Church. The impact or the power of praise and worship in the Catholic Church. And we are taking our scripture reference from Psalm 96, verse 9. Psalm 96, verse 9. And Psalm 29, verse 2. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. And Psalm 29 also says, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So before I continue, let me just see our understanding about praise and worship. So what is praise? I just want to take some one or two ideas from us. Your understanding about praise or worship. When we talk about praise and worship, what do you understand by it? The meaning praise or to praise? What does it mean?
If they say praise, it means somebody does something to you, you are happy, and you want to give thanks to God for it.
Somebody has done something to you, the person has given you money, go buy from something special, and you are thanking God for it. Any other, before I just continue, okay, my father wants to say something before I just continue the talk.
You praise somebody or you praise God for who He is, what He has done for you, and what He continues to do for you day in and day out.
Amen. And so now let's try to see what praise means. Praise means to commend, to applaud, or magnify. For Christians, praise to God is an expression of worship, lifting up and glorifying the Lord. And so for us, it's an expression of worship. So praises is part of worship. Amen. Praises is part of worship. And worship is a religious act of devotion accorded to a deity or a sacred object. Worship is a religious act of devotion accorded to a deity or a sacred object. Again, worship is an expression of our love to God and our love for others. Also, another person also defined it as worship is the reverence, honor, and homage paid to God, and the ceremonies and services through which we express our devotion. And you see that highlighted ceremonies and devotion, or ceremonies and services through which we express our devotion. So the ceremonies, we go to church from the Our Father, the beginning to the end. That is praise to say, Ite Missa Est, go love and serve the Lord. All that we do there is worship. We come for prayer meeting. It's not the time that we are taking the songs that we are praising the Lord. From the time the intercessor starts, everything up to the end that we share the grace and we give is all part of worship. So the testimonies, everything is part of the worship that we are here to do. So the ceremony, everything that takes place is part of worship. And so prayer is part of worship. Kneeling is part of worship. And we take songs, we see people dancing, it's part of worship. So worship is a form of prayer, as I said earlier. And we can get that one in Genesis 24, verse 26. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Worship, in short, you can say it's a way of life. In short, if you don't understand anything here, you go and they ask what is worship. They say worship is a way of life. And Jesus' life is an example of worship. Everything is that is worship. So worship is a way of life. Not just the time you come here and say, let's sing the song and everything. And I think somewhere saying that when the song is hot, all other gods, they are the ways of men. You are the most high God. There is, then we are praising. All other gods, then we are worshiping. The same song, I can sing it fast, I can sing it low. Hallelujah. They are all form of, can be great adoration, but they all come together to form worship. So in the Catholic Church, everything we do is worship. As I said earlier, the mass, from the beginning to the end, everything is worship. So I can say, instead of saying I'm going to mass, I can say I'm going to worship. Amen. I'm coming for prayer meeting. I'm coming for worship. And that is what I want you to understand. So in short, please, if you don't understand anything, all that I'm just trying to say is that prayer, which can be rosary, spontaneous prayer that you can use your own words and speak tongues, or meditation, is a form of worship. Praise, singing, dancing, and all that, their adoration, they are all what come together to form what we call worship. And so, not that when the song is hot, then we are praising, and when the song is low, then we are worshiping. Amen. Why did God create us? Or create you? Let me go for catechism. Amen. So God created us to love Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, and all that comes together. So we worship God for who He is. He's complete. And our worship art or takes nothing from Him. So either we worship God or if we don't worship God, God remains the same. The worship benefits you and I and not God. Worship, we worship Him for who He is. Also, we worship Him because of His wondrous way. The miracles that God works for us, the things that God has in our life. And who can tell you one of the miracles God works for us from Friday up to yesterday? Hallelujah. On Friday, we challenge God. Elijah prayed and he gave the people of Israel rain. When our fathers received the faith, the early Christians in baptizing, when there was drought, they went to Jerusalem. And Father told them, you pray. All those of us who have been, great things happen. That miracle is there. They pray, they do not get back to their home and it's rain. So we challenge God that this is our time. We want you to do something. And lo and behold, yesterday God gave us rain. Amen. So just give God a hand of applause. So number one, the impact of praise and worship is that the Psalm 22 verse 3 says that God inhabits in the praises of His people. God dwells in the presence or the praise of His people. God lives in the praises of His people. And so any time that the people of God come, when we come together like this to praise God, to worship God, then we are elevated into the presence and power of God. That's one. Praises and worship elevate us into the presence and power of God. And this is what happens. As these people are here, we are here worshiping God. And as we worship God from the depth of our heart, then God begins to descend. Because the Bible says that God inhabits in the praise of His people. And the power of God will descend on us. Will be filled. There are many things that you do in the normal life you know what to do in. But because you're not of yourself, at that time you are elevated. You are no more in this kingdom. You are no more in this situation, well, earthly kingdom. You are in a different kingdom. So you do the things of the heavenly kingdom. Amen. And so you do certain things. When you come to your normal senses and they say you should do it, you don't do it. Because God will come and dwell in the presence of His people. Hallelujah. And so when God comes, you see that people begin to experience the power of God. And so, as you feel His presence, and so you see that those who worship God, they are not afraid. Because always you feel that the presence of God is with you. Just like this person, that God is always around you. You are walking in the presence of God. So you are not afraid of witches, you are not afraid of wizards. Hallelujah. Because the presence of God is with you. Also, you know that you are not alone. There's your guardian angel with you. God sent angels to guide you, to protect you. So you know that you are not alone and you are not afraid of anything. Number two, worship opens the door to healing and deliverance. Worship opens the door to healing and deliverance. And if you go to the attend mass, do the consecration to have faith. At that time that God is transforming ordinary bread into the body of Christ. Transforming ordinary wine into the blood of Christ. If you have faith at that particular moment, and you offer any bread to the Lord, and then you don't go out the same. A miracle is going to happen there. God is going to heal you. God is going to embrace you. One time somebody came for counseling, that any time you read, then you forget everything that you read. So they asked him that, you go attend mass, during consecration, you offer the problem. This is how God went and offered the problem to God during consecration. The next morning, he got up to peace. Then he feels something moving from his head downwards. to the truth. So when you try to bring the thing out, it was a live cockroach. Amen?
Amen.
And he was delivered. Up to now, he's still alive. That is the power of the Eucharist that we do. And so we are set free from the bondage of Satan. There's healing of mind, heart, and physical healing. People come here bed in trouble, but after praise and worship, after everything, people are then mad, burning. But after everything, they go out to God, I'm light. As if something has happened to God, has taken that burden away. So the person has received inner healing, the healing of the mind. And so all the bondages are breaking. Jesus will come and break the chains that the enemy is tied with. Praise and worship sends the enemy running. When we come here and we are praising and worshiping, Satan cannot stand here. They have to run away to run. And so since praise manifests God's presence, as we said earlier, we also realize the presence, praise repels the presence of the enemy, Satan. An atmosphere which is filled with sincere worship and praise to God by humble and contrite heart is disgusting to the devil. He fears the power of the name of Jesus and flees from the Lord's habitation in praise. So it's just like Satan is like a roaring lion trying to get somebody to depart. So you see that he's always out rolling around. But anytime that the children of God come together to worship God, and we begin to praise, worship God from a sincere heart, as I said, from a contrite heart. Not that you are here worshiping and you are thinking of somebody who has done something to you and you are going to pay back. You are thinking of destroying somebody. No, we are all here with a sincere and contrite, with a humble heart, lifting up our holy hearts to the Lord. This is what happens. The presence of God will begin to descend on us. The power of God will begin to come on us. And you see that God will continue to come and deal with us because we are worshiping, we are lifting Him. And because He said that God dwells in the presence of His people. And the moment God comes, the presence of God comes, Satan cannot stand. He has to diminish, he has to vanish from that place. So you see Satan running away because God's children are praising, God's children are worshiping, and the presence of God is among them, the power of God is among them. So Satan has to run away and leave them. And as Satan runs away and leave them, and as we continue to worship God, then you see that the anointing, the power of God will continue to increase in us, will continue to magnify in us, and surround us anywhere that we go. You see that it's around you, left and right. Stars will fall at my right, stars will fall at my left. You are not afraid of anything because the presence of God is with you. Worship sets us free from bondage. And I just wanted to look at Paul and Silas. These were people who were in prison. Instead of them lamenting, weeping, Bible says that they were singing, praying and singing hymns to God. And we can get that story in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. And one thing, apart from the breaking of the bondage, it also draws people into the presence of God. I don't know whether sometimes you observe that many times we are here worshiping, people who are going around here, you see them also clapping their hands, going. You see that Paul and Silas were here praising God. And these were their colleagues inside there, now observing what they're doing. Now, what they were doing in their prayer, in their worship and praise, was not drawing these people, their colleagues, into the presence of God. Amen. And so they are now listening to the prayer, the cry. These people, what is wrong with them? That we are lamenting, yet these people are praising God, thanking God in all their situations. That is what God does when we come here. You see that somebody will go in here, and the person will dance, you may think the person is mad. But our praises, our worship is drawing the person closer to God. Amen. And so the Catechism of the Calendar, number 299, says that man himself was created in the image of God and called to a personal relationship with God, as we said earlier. It also brings transformation. When we praise and we worship, it brings transformation in our life. And I just want to use this to elaborate it. Every vehicle, motorbike, cannot do without the filling station. But no vehicle or motorbike is expected to stay at the filling station. Amen. And so that is why the Latin go the mark is ended, not just say go the mark. It is exactly go, serve, and love the Lord. So you are going to serve the Lord, not that go the mark is ended. Go to serve and love the Lord. You are now being empowered. You are now going to be filled. You are now being strengthened. Now go and serve the Lord. Don't go and sit down. So we are, anytime we come for the ritual meeting, we are coming for the Lord to strengthen us, to empower us so that we can go out there to serve the Lord. So this is what the Lord does in our life. He gives us transformation. He said he brings healing, breaks the bandage. So as worship ministers, how can we do this? Not just only praise and worship. Because if I'm a worshiper and you're not a worshiper, we will come here and we will not be at the same wavelength. Because I want to worship God, but because you are not a worshiper, you will not be good. So you and I must be worshipers so that together we will be able to worship God. And one of the ministers that will endure forever is the praise and worship. Healing and deliverance will go, but praise and worship will continue to be there. Because the revelation is to say that at that time, there will not be need of even light, because the Lamb himself and the Father will be the light of the people. And that no anything filthy will not be found within the courtyard of the New Jerusalem. The whole place will be bright, the whole place will be clean. And so Satan will have no place even to surround that place. So there's no need for deliverance, because you have already been redeemed. So the only thing that will be left there is worship, worship, worship. So we have to start learning worship. Amen. So if you don't know how to worship and God isn't opening the door for you, you say this is not my place in heaven, because you are not used to it. So let's all try to be people of worship. How many of us will worship the Lord even this time? We say shout to kneel down. Gone are the days that when we take praise song, you see people dancing around the altar, praising God. This time, no matter how the song is. So sometimes you get praise and worship, you are confused. You don't know when the song is touching the table. Because the song, no matter how it is, but we just stand there. Just like, so I think last Sunday, Father was so sincere that sometimes we just stand like post. In church, no matter how the song is moving, we just put our collection, they are moving, we get to break down. You come with sorrow and want to go back with sorrow. Amen. In order to receive the breakthrough, the healing, the deliverance, the everything, if you read Exodus chapter 19, verse 10, I want us to look at this place, then we understand it better. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes. That's the new revised standard. Then we come to the good news version. And the Lord said to him, that is Moses, go to the people and tell them to spend today and tomorrow purifying themselves, that they should be holy, just like consecrate themselves for worship, purify themselves for worship. They must wash their clothes. I like the good version. Purifying themselves for worship. My brother, my sister, all of us as people of worshipers, we must desire holiness. Amen. Because any time that we are coming into worship, we are coming into the presence of God. And this was the time that God was telling Moses to tell the people of Israel that he's coming to visit them. And this was the rule that God has given to them to prepare to wait for him. And even if you read further, it will say that those who even touch the foot of the mountain will be stoned to death. Even animals, because the mountain is holy. So we are serving a holy God. A God who is pure. And so you and I must desire holiness. You should not just go and sleep in your boyfriend or girlfriend's house and just run here and pick their mind and start singing. Are you holy? How have you prepared? God asked them to prepare today and tomorrow. Use 2 days to prepare. And wait for me. When I come to be holy, do we prepare? Especially the praise and worship members. Do we prepare to come and lead the people? I just sit down and wait. When it's 2:30, I just rise and start running here. Pick their mic and start singing. I need to prepare. That is what the Father is saying. And the other thing I want to hammer on, to wash their clothes. To wash their clothing. My brother, my sister, you cannot just wear anything to the house of God. You cannot just wear anything to the house of God. We are serving the holy God. So we must dress decently. I'm not saying you should dress happily, but dress decently. The small that you have, make good use of it and dress decently. Especially those of us who live, you come here, then your ties are exposing, then you are saying you are leading people. Indirectly, you are drawing some men's mind out of this, the presence of worship. Even your colleague women, you are drawing their attention, because the person is wondering, how can such a person lead me to worship? You are dressed and your whole breath is showing. And last I saw one of us that now that he doesn't have waist again. The brother was now at the bottom. And now you go to church, the young men, majority of us, our trousers are always below our waist level. They walk like people who are famous. They cannot walk as correct as they can. You see them walking as if they are famous. And he was saying that if he's there to interview you, then you walk like a kangaroo there. He will chase you to go out and not get employment. So my dear fellow youth who are here, let's learn to dress decently. I think one day God will have to do something. Amen. Even with such a dress, in the social world, if you go to any reputable organization, you will not get employment. Those things are for the wealthy people. Jesus said they are in the world, but not of the world. Even if you read the Isaiah version and the Revelation version, holy, 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 holy Lord. For the scripture to repeat the word four times, do you know the meaning? By emphasis, that we are serving the holy God. And so we just come to play with this holy God. And so, based on worship, we need to prepare. If we don't prepare, we come here, we mess up. So whether instrumentalist, whoever, whatever role we are playing, we have to take the heads up very seriously. Because if we prepare effectively, we will come and we will lead the people to the presence of God. I don't know. Many of us attend mass. Then we come out there, people will say, sometimes we also share in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Then people will say, that is the way we enjoy mass, that you've done well. That's so glory to God, but I'm also sharing that glory. Amen. Do you know that you and I control the whole mass? Because you and I will select a song that we'll sing, and the congregation has to go by that song. So if we don't prepare well to select song that will lead them into the presence of God, we are going to destroy them. The expectation that they bring into church, we are going to destroy them. The expectation that they bring into the here to worship will destroy them. Because we're not prepared to choose the right song that will lead them into the presence of God. Amen. So preparation is very important. And so what will be our response? Before I talk about response, all of us, from one way or the other, we have to do something. This time you see that I'm even wondering if one day this speaker will also refuse to come. Then means you have to use him as power. Because everything the calendar is holy. And these instruments are holy because any time that we buy them, they are blessed. And if you read the Exodus version, it's God told Moses to anoint everything that was in the tabernacle. From the altar to the dress that the priest was wearing, everything was anointed. Everything for worship was anointed. So I believe that everything that you see here is anointed. Amen. And so we must get things. And one of our brothers said something, Brother Austin, that many times we Christians, we joke with the things of God. We go to the wealthy people, the kind of equipment that they buy to sing their Azondo song. You come to the house of God, then the keyboard, amen. But we need to, that, if you let the serious with God, and God will be serious with that. That was the message that he gave us. Let the serious with God, and God will be serious with that. So our response will be love. Love. Our response to enable us to experience the presence, the power of God, we need to love God. And somebody sent this picture to my Facebook, and I'm trying to get a lady's name, and if possible, search for things about her. This is somebody like Pastor Nick, no less, no harm. Yet this lady is leading people into worship. Hallelujah. You and I, we have any excuse. Why are you fighting with God? I have two hands, two legs, I'm whole. Yet I'm fighting with God. God, why have you treated me this way? Yet somebody like this is joyous and leading people into worship. This man, no leg, no hand, yet God is using him to encourage people. Do you have any excuse to give to God? That because my head is weeping, I'll not worship you. Because I'm too tall, I'll not worship you. Because you created me too short, I'll not worship you. Somebody has no legs, no hands, yet is joyful worshiping God. Number two, every day, worship is not just a day where every day we have to make a choice. It's not that when we come here, that's all. Every blessed day, life is full of choices. And every day, and the choice that we live. And no wonder that every blessed day, Jesus used to go to the mountains to consult the Father, to make a choice, the right decision. Amen. And so you and I, every day we are confronted to make a choice, either to serve God or otherwise. And Joshua will tell the people of Israel that if you not serve God, I and my household and I will worship God. Amen. And the people of Israel said, no, not you alone. We do worship God because we are seeing the goodness of God. We are seeing the power of God. We are seeing the wonders of God. Please, are you worshiping God because of the experience you have or because people are worshiping God? You need to have a personal encounter with God, a personal experience with God. That when we are worshiping Him, nobody will not joke with God. Hallelujah. And so daily, we need to make a decision. Every day, we are faced with a crossroads, and we need to make the right decision. And for us to make the right decision, we need to worship God. We must be humble. If we want to experience the presence of God, humility must come. And Jesus, being God Himself, Bible says that though God humbled Himself and took the nature of man. And even this picture, there's a writing there. Humility, foundation of all virtues. Amen. Humility, foundation of all virtues. If the whole master will go down on his knees to wash the feet of his disciples, what about you and I? We are called to be humble. And so it must be out of free will. And that is why I never say that I will not force anybody to worship. And so for me, I will not force anybody to worship God. Do it out of your own free will. See what God has done in your life. And that will help you to worship God. And it must be out of obedience. Out of obedience. Our response to the worship must be out of obedience. And I just wanted to do this, take this picture to illustrate it. But you may not understand it. This is a picture representing Jonah and the whale. When God sent Jonah to go and proclaim his word to the people of Nineveh, and he was running away, he got to the river, and it got to the point that they have to throw him into the sea. And the fish came and swallowed him, and carried him all the way to Nineveh, and vomited him there. And those of us who were here and talked to us through the book of Jonah, I think who understand it better? Like God is sending me to go to Tamar to proclaim His word. Then I started running to Kumasi. Then the time that we need to use some soup to call Bamboy, the one who crossed the Bamboy, the confusion came, they drew me inside Bamboy. And the fish swallowed me and carried me all the way to Tamale and what? Committed me there. From Yape to Tamale, is there any river there? Is there any river? So whether the fish was now moving on the dry land, nobody knows. But one thing is that the fish obeyed God. That is the basic thing you must understand. The fish obeyed God's command. Swallowed Jonah and did what God commanded. But man, most of the time, we are disappointed. That the greater that you obey Him, we fail in that aspect. Many of us fail. And so we are called to obedience. Let's obey our parents. Obey leadership. Many of us, the youth, are here. We don't know anything. But yet, we claim we know. Some of us claim we have power. And we go and lead healing and deliverance. And when things are hot, we begin to run away. We are not ready to learn. Why do you think Jesus will walk with us apostles for 3 years? Do you think it's just for nothing? And then in these 3 years, he got to a time and he said, you people, you go out and exercise what you have learned and let me see whether you are well equipped to enable me to go. I don't want to go and start regretting. But some of us, the way we pass through life in the seminar, have received the power. The leadership are not ready to give us chance. Who is not ready to give you the chance? Are you ready to humble yourself to also learn? We claim we know a lot. Amen. And we need to obey the leadership of the church. And so for us to experience the presence and the power of God, we need to worship God. We need to honor God. We need to praise God. And just like Pastor Nick asked, are you looking at your limitations? God has created me. I have thick hair. I have thick stomach. I'm too tall. I'm too short. Are you looking at your limitations? And because of that, I find it difficult to worship God. This evening we are called to worship God, because in worship we experience the power of God. In worship, God dwells in our worship. God dwells in our praises. Amen. And so this evening we want to get up and worship God. We want to get up and honor and adore God. Shall we please join our feet? Father, thank you. We bless you, Lord. We give you the praise. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord, of the night here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, O Lord, for your presence. For a bring of glory to us. We worship you. We are